with everybody in this audience knows. So you take X, the compact symplicity manifold of dimension n, which is oriented. Then there is a, what we call a Poincaré pairing, which is Hi of Xz plus Hj of Xt going to Hi plus J of Xz. And we have here the integration going to Z if I plus J is equal to N. So that we call a Poincaré duality pairing. Now what happens? Assume that X is non-oriented. So the good theory for that is to take a cohomology with local coefficients. So we take a local coefficient system, alpha, which belongs to H1 of X is Z mod 2, or another one, alpha prime if you want. And then we have also a cup product which goes into Hi plus J of X alpha plus alpha prime, okay, which is a cup product with a unit shift if you want. And then you take integration again, but this works only if alpha plus alpha prime is equal to the first dependent class of the normal bundle of an embedding of X in the manifold. So nu is a normal bundle of X embedded in a big Euclidean space. And in fact, this Poincaré pairing is a consequence of the term isomorphism theorem, which says that more generally is that if you have a normal a vector bundle on a space X, then there is let's say of rank S, then we have a map from HR of X with coefficients in what I call bracket nu. So bracket nu is just the first equilibrium class of nu, and which goes to HR plus S of with compact support of nu. Okay, that's the term isomorphism. And you get from term isomorphism to what I said before, because what you have now is Hi. I come back to the notation. Before, you have Hi plus J of X alpha plus alpha prime. Then you use term isomorphism plus something with compact support of nu, and you manage in such a way that I plus J plus S is equal to capital N, and then you just integrate again, which is just inclusion of the normal bundle, that's an idea of term, and you go to H capital N with compact support of Rn, which is Z. So that's very classical, the subject. Now the question now is the following: can we do the same in K-theory? By K-theory I mean just a naive K-theory, topological K-theory of Atia, Cotton, Gerstenbourg, so which is a complex K-theory. of topological vector bundles. Now, if you want to do the same, then you have to introduce local coefficient systems, but they're much more complicated. That's the one in cohomology. In fact, they belong to what we call the graded Brauer group. Which I call GBR of X. And this group is just Z mod 2 cross H1 of X with Z2 coefficients cross H3 of X with Z coefficients. So it's the local coefficient system, instead of being just H1 of X, Z2, is just this group. Okay? Well, it is a group for the following multiplication or addition. If you have epsilon W1 W3 plus epsilon prime W prime 1 W prime 3, then this is equal to the following sum. Where beta is a Boxian homomorphism. So my first claim, claim one, that we can define a group which I call K alpha of X for alpha belonging to GBR of X. So this group will be called twisted K-theory group. In such a way that we can define a cup product K alpha of X cross K alpha prime of X in K alpha plus alpha prime of X. Such that when you reduce yourself to what I call the trivial part of GBR of X, which means if you forget about H1 and H3, you just keep Z mod 2, then this is a generalization of the usual cut product in complex case theory. Okay, so that's my first claim. The second claim is that we have a term isomorphism before stating what is a term isomorphism, I should need a notation. If you take a vector bundle V, V is a real vector bundle, then it has a natural class in GBR of X, which is the rank of V mod 2, the first Diffie-Hellwig class, and the Bochstein of the second Diffie-Hellwig class. So that's a very natural element associated to a real vector bundle. So I call this element V between brackets. Okay. And now I can state the term isomorphism, so V between brackets belongs to GBR of X. Okay? And the term isomorphism is the following statement, that if we take K alpha plus V of X, that's isomorphic to K alpha of the sum space of V, so K alpha with compact support. Now, if you agree with these two claims, then we deduce, exactly like in cohomology, Poincaré duality pairing, from K alpha of X cross K alpha prime of X, to k alpha plus alpha prime of x. And then you have something analogous to the term construction, T, exactly mimicking what you do in cohomology on the condition, under the condition that alpha plus alpha prime is equal to the class of the normal bundle mu of x when you embed x in R2n, R2p. And the last map T use Bob periodicity. Because at a certain stage, if you follow what I've done just above, you end up with something in the K theory with compact support of R2n, 2p, and then you should know that this is just Z. Okay, that's the famous theorem of Bob. Okay. So you see that if we have these two claims, that gives you the Poincaré duality pairing. So this K theory, K alpha of X, to make some history, was defined by Donovan and myself long time ago, in 1970. In this period, we restrict ourselves to the torsion cell group of H2 of XZ, and it was generalized by Jonathan Rosenberg in 1989 using Fredon operators. I'm coming back to this. And so this is a kind of old subject, but it has been put into life by a famous paper of Witten in 1998, and he shows that this K theory with suited coefficients is related to string theory, especially with the theory of D-brains. I don't know anything about D-brains, okay, but in his paper, he used essentially this twisted K theory to understand phenomenon in a string theory. He cannot explain otherwise. Okay? So this is the motivation of this definition. Okay? But now I have to give you the definition. What is the definition? Well, to give the definition, I think it's better to start with the classical definition of K of X. So K of X is usually defined as a quotient group of the category of vector bundles. Okay? But I want to give a more sophisticated definition using Fredon operators in that space. So let's make some analysis. So if H and H prime are two Hilbert spaces, so make some analysis, referential analysis. So if you take D, a map, a linear continuous map from H to H prime, we say that this map is Fredon if the kernel of D and the co-kernel of D are finite dimensional. This space of Fredon operator is very important in the index theory of Atiyah-Singer. In fact, there is a very famous theorem of Atiyah and Jenisch, and maybe I should add the name of Kuiper because it's an ingredient very important in the proof, that if you call f of h the topological space of Fredon operators, inside H, so from H to H, which is infinite dimensional, then this is a classical space for K theory. So in other words, it has a multiple type of Z cross BU. Okay. So that's a very nice theorem which connects analysis with topology. Okay. But there is another way to write this theorem in a more geometric way, if you want, which is the following. I'm going to consider a Z2 graded vector bundle. So let's take vector bundles, but I'm not taking finite dimensional vector bundles. I take vector bundles with fiber and in that space. Okay. So in other words, the structural group here is a unitary group of Hilbert space. So you take the bounded unitary operators in Hilbert space. Okay. So if you take such a vector bundle, I would like to give a grading. So I take Z2 graded vector bundles. And now D is not a Fredholm operator, it's a Fredholm family. Or Fredholm operators. Which means it's a map of vector bundle, okay, such that on each fiber it's Fredholm. Okay? And moreover, assume that D is self-adjoint and the degree of D is 1. So if you look at what this means, it means simply that you have a matrix of the following type. Okay. So giving D is equivalent to give nabla from E0 to E1. So it's just a question of language. Instead of making a map from E0 to E1, I just give myself a Fredholm operator, which is self-adjoint of degree 1. Okay. Here, I'm not assuming that E0 and E1 are infinite dimensional. Okay. Now, I'm going to consider the homotopy classes. About what? The dimension, I'm not assuming that the Hilbert bundle is infinite dimensional. Okay, so the fiber might be finite dimensional. Okay, I don't exclude this case. Okay. Now I take the homotopy classes of such couples, ED. So in other words, I consider two couples homotopic if you can find a bundle over X cross 0, 1 which gives each one on each stage. So these are I should say vector bundles over X. Okay. Let us assume X compact. Okay. So I take homotopy classes of such bundles. Okay. This is of course a semigroup by addition. So I define ED plus E prime D prime just as a class of E plus E prime D plus E prime. And no restriction. No, it's not zero. Because an infinite sum of Fredholm operators is not Fredholm. Okay? If you take a finite dimensional and you make an infinite sum of that, then you have an infinite sum of finite dimensional vector spaces, it is not finite dimensional. Okay? So it's not zero. And in fact, let's call K bar the associated Grothendieck group. Okay? So you have an obvious map . We have another map from K of X to K bar of X. So K of X is defined by formal differences of vector bundles, and you associate such a formal difference just E0 plus E1 as Z2 graded vector bundle, and you take the zero as Fredon operator. Okay? And the claim is that this map theta is an isomorphism. If you think a little bit, it's just a reformulation of Atelier-Liennich theorem. It's just a nice way to look at it, okay? Because we don't restrict the dimension to be finite, okay? And you have directly the map, okay? So that, if you want a Fredon description, an infinite-dimensional description of K-of-X, okay? So far, being in a classical stuff, so now I want to define K-alpha of X, okay? And then come the new feature. And that's the key ID now. Which is due to Serre and Wall is to consider what we call Azumaya algebras, bundles of V2 graded Azumaya algebras, complex Azumaya algebras. Over X. So what that means, that we take such a bundle, is a bundle of algebra, if you want, and the fiber, so now A is finite dimensional, and for simplicity, I assume that the fiber is either isomorphic to M to N of the complex numbers, with the obvious grading, or MNC cross NMC. So this is of degree 0 and this is of degree 1. This is the obvious multiplication. Okay. And now I declare that two bundles are equivalent if and only if you can find graded vector bundles V and V prime such that A tensor, that graded tensor, with and V, is morphic to A prime, graded tensor, with and V prime. Okay? And we call this the graded Wawel group of X. So the set of such equivalence classes is a semi group by graded tensor product, but in fact it is a group which I call GBR F of X. So the F, just to remind me that we are taking finite dimensional bundles, and this group is isomorphic to Z mod 2 cross H1 of X Z2 cross the torsion group of H3 of XZ. A typical example, which is in fact very important in our story, if you start with a vector bundle, be a real vector bundle, and we take the Clifford algebra, the Clifford bundle, phi of V, associated to a positive quadratic form on each fiber, you view it as a complex algebra by tensoring with C, then the class of C of V in GBR of X is just given by the rank of V mod 2, and as I said before, the first Stephen de Guité class and the Bloch-Stein of W2. So you recover the invariant I was talking before, which I've called V. Okay, it's exactly what I said before. Now, if you want to define K alpha of X, to define K of X, we just make a slight modification of my previous definition of K bar of X. Okay, what is this slight modification? We just assume, see if you remember the definition which is on the right there, okay, maybe I shall write. So I just, to remember this definition here, I take a V2 graded vector bundle, but now I assume a little bit more. I assume that E is a module. Okay. In other words, I have on each fiber, I make each Hilbert space a module over the algebra A. Okay. And that's, so if you want, it's a twisted module over a bundle of algebra, over an algebra bundle. Okay, so that's the only piece of information I add to my previous definition, and so I just copy what I did, which I've just erased. You take couples ED, where E is a Hilbert bundle V2 graded Hilbert bundle. Which is an A module in the graded sense. Okay. And D is a continuous family of Fredon operators which commute, of course, D star equals D. Degree of D equal 1, and D commute to the action of A in the graded sense. So dA equal minus 1 times the degree of A, AD. Okay. So I take the semigroup associated to this, and I take the Grothendieck group, and that's by definition KA of X. And the key point here is that this definition depends only of the class of A in the graded bubble group. So K of X is isomorphic to K prime of X if A and A prime are the same class in GDR of X. Okay, so it's really a definition which depends only of alpha. Okay. So I must have almost made the first claim. I define K alpha, except that I was taking here the torsion part of H3 of PDV. Okay. In order to get a more general definition, that is due to Jonathan Rosenberg, the defect of this definition is the finiteness. We are taking bundles of bundle of algebras which are finite dimensional. So the key ID now of Jonathan Rosenberg, and the second ID of Jonathan Rosenberg was to remark that we can generalize this. In fact, the idea somehow is to how can I say that? Well, essentially, a bundle of algebra is classified by an element in H1. If we just take back, we forget for the moment the grading, this non-abelian cohomology set classifies finite dimensional bundles of algebras modeled on MMC. Okay. But there is no reason to say in PUN, we can also take H1 of X PUH, where now H is an infinite dimensional vector space, okay? And it's not too difficult to show that this is just H2 of XZ using essentially Kuiper theorem. So I don't want to go into the too much technicalities. But essentially, you generalize the definition by taking bundles of algebra which are infinite dimensional, okay, and then you can generalize it. Okay. But now, what about the cut product? What about the first claim? Claim 1, which belongs to the theorem, we can define a cut product. And that's very easy, because what you do is you just take the couple ED as above, and you define the cut product as E tensor E prime, D tensor 1, plus 1 tensor D prime. You can check using the grading, that's very important, that this is in fact a freedom operator. And moreover, this E tensor A prime is a module over A tensor A prime. Okay. And so I've defined the cut product KA of X for K prime of X in K A tensor A prime of X. Okay. And this is actually what I was claiming there. Okay. You remark that this is cut product don't use Bott periodicity, which is really funny. Okay. For example, you have directly cut product from K one of X cross K one of X to K zero of X. Okay. So we don't use Bott periodicity to define the cut product from K1 cross K1 in K0, okay, which is very remarkable. Okay. We are just using the cut product using algebras and Fredholm operators. Okay. What? The algebra for K1 is just a C cross C, with an obvious gradient. It corresponds, you see, to the three variants there, where the rank, and so on, so. Okay. Now, what about claim two? And I go to the third part of the talk, which is the term isomorphism. Before going to the term isomorphism, I need a slight generalization of my definition. Until now, I was assuming X compact. So I need to assume a little bit less and assume X locally compact. So what happens if X locally compact? Then, in my couple TD, I should assume something about the behavior at infinity. So I assume that D is acyclic at infinity, which means that there exists a compact K in X such that dx is not just freedom, but it's an isomorphism. Okay, so that's a very natural condition to put. Okay, so this is a slight generalization of the previous definition. We assume at infinity that the freedom operator becomes an isomorphism. Okay, and you perform the Grothendieck group, and you can define this way the K theory with a compact support K of X. Okay, it's just a slight generalization of my previous definition. Now, what is Tom isomorphism? So this is the following theorem. We have an isomorphism from K theory of A tensor the Clifford algebra or the Clifford bundle of X to the K theory with compact support of D. Okay. Well, since I'm not in France, I can say such a thing, but in France we are not allowed to say that. We are not allowed to say we have an isomorphism. We should give a map and say it is an isomorphism. Okay? So to be more precise, I tell you what is a map. Okay, so what is a map? That is a very nice map. So you start with E, and let me be a little bit precise. So A means it's just a symbol for the action of A. Let's put a small letter V, which means the action of the Clifford algebra, of the Clifford bundle. And there is my D, which is the family of freedom operators. Okay. So I want to associate to this something which is going to be pi star E. So pi is of course a projection from E to X, from V to X. So I keep the action of A. I should say pi star A if you want. And now I have to find a family of freedom operators, okay, which I call nabla. And I have to say what is nabla at a point of the vector bundle. So I shall put nabla xv, where x belongs to x, v belongs to v, and pi of v equal x. Okay? And this nabla xv is just d, dx, plus rho of v, where rho of v is just the automorphism, the endomorphism of E associated with the Clifford action. See, if you have the Clifford algebra contains vectors. The vectors, the Clifford algebra is generated by the vector bundle. Okay? And V is an element in the vector bundle which generates the Clifford algebra local, at each point. Okay? And now if you look at this sum, it makes sense as an endomorphism of pi star E. And if you compute this square, because this is of degree 1, this is of degree 1, the anti-commute, and then what you find is dx square plus rho v square, okay, which is strictly positive, is this different from 0. And therefore it's an isomorphism outside the zero section. And therefore the map is well defined. And this is a theorem. Now if you have Tom isomorphism, then you are done. You have claim 2. Okay? Claim 2 is just a consequence. Claim 1 and the Poincaré pairing is the Tom isomorphism by the well-known known trick of Tom gives you the Poincaré pairing. Okay. But I should say as a remark that this theorem is not at all obvious because it implies both periodicity. Okay. Note, this theorem implies both periodicity. Simply because, for example, if you take Kc of R to n, just a trivial bundle over a point, that's the same thing as K of the Clifford algebra of R to n of a point. Okay? And that's obviously Z. Okay? Because the Clifford algebra is Borica equivalent to the complex numbers. Okay? So that's, if you want, another way to view both periodicity, the atomic morphism. Yeah. Oh, it's a long history. I don't have time to... This is generalization of this paper, in fact. Atiyah Abbott and Shapiro, in fact, were setting some conjectures, which were not able to prove at that time. And when I made my thesis, I proved these conjectures. Okay. And that's, this is a long history. I will tell you it later on. Okay, so let's go now to the equivalent case. So I shall be very short. I'm just saying, there is a well-known question. What about the equivalent case? Okay. So we put a compact E group everywhere. So put a compact E group acting everywhere. So this is what we call equivalent case theory, which was discovered by Atiyah and Siegel. But now we have a tweaked version of this equivalent K theory, so we can define KGA of X exactly in the same fashion we have defined KA of X. The only difference is that now A is a bundle of G algebras. So in other words, we are living now in the world of so-called equivariant graded power group. So there is a lot of papers about this equivariant graded power group, but one of the papers, I should mention the paper of Atiyah and Siegel, which appears 4 years ago, is that this equivalent Bauer group, in fact, the graded version, is exactly Z over 2 cross H1 of Xg with Z2 coefficients cross H3 of Xg with Z2 coefficients, where Xg is a Bopel construction associated to X. What?
So it's basically thirdly covariance cohomology of X.
Of Xg. I'm going to say what is Xg. So Xg is a so-called Borel construction. You take the clasping space of the Lie group and you take Eg cross Gx. Okay, that's what we call Xg. Okay? And so the graded Bauer group belongs to this cohomology. Okay? And each time you have a cohomology class like this, you can define a KGA of X. Okay? And you have also equivariant term isomorphism. You just put a G. Okay. That's also valid. Okay. Oh, sorry. Yes. Sorry. Thank you. Let me give just an application. Well, I don't have too much time. There are a lot of things to say about this equivariant twisted K theory. Let me just give one application. Let G to be the symmetric group. And let's take V to be Rn. Let X to be a point. Okay, it looks trivial. So what is it? Okay, so what you find is that Kg, Ksn of C of the Clifford algebra of Rn is the equivalent K theory of Rn. Okay. By this is Tom isomorphism. I take A to be trivial. Okay. So what is this group? Okay. In fact, I can put a star here if you want. There is a tensor suspension. And in fact, this group, let me give a notation. I shall call in general, EGV should be the category of G sub V modules, where G is acting on V. So in other words, you are taking modules, so G, assume G, so G is your finite. I'm just taking modules, which are modules over the Clifford algebra, C of V, but also there are modules over the finite group G, but this action is twisted. So in other words, you have the formula G Vx equals GV dot Gx. So it's kind of twisted. So in fact, it's a module over the cross product of G by C of V. Okay, so this category is just a category of modules over the algebra, which is a cross product of G by C of V. That's very easy to show. Okay. And what I claim is that this group is in fact very algebraic. We don't need freedom operators to do it. So the theorem, there exists an eta sequence where in the middle you have kg of C of V of the point, and on the left, on the right, you have the Grothendieck group of this category. But just take V plus 1. Now, it is an easy exercise to show that the two groups are zero. Okay. This group is free because you just classify module over a semi-simple algebra. Okay. And therefore, this group is free. It's a free Z module. And with the same reasoning, you can prove the same thing with KG CD of the real line is also a free Z mod. So in other words, we have found a topological result is that Kg star Ksn, for example, of Rn is a free Z module. Thanks to the Tom isomorphism. And now you can ask what is the rank. And the rank is the following. The rank of Kg0 of Rn, this is a computation which is due to Kohn, Bohm, Kominska, and Kuhn. The direct consequence of the result, that the rank is the number of partitions I1, I2, I2R of the integers n, so that's the rank of K0, and the rank of K1 is a number of partitions, but now we are taking the odd numbers, odd number of elements. Okay. So that's a number of even partition by distinct integers, and this is number of odd partition by distinct integers. Okay. So this what? Here I'm taking Fn. But this is a general result for any group. Okay. So in fact, the generating function you can ask what is the Euler Poincaré characteristic of this K theory. Okay, so the question is what is the rank of KG0, KFN 0 of Rn minus the rank of KSN 1 of Rn, which is Pn minus In. Okay, that's an Euler Poincaré characteristic. And in fact, it was being done by Euler. Because Euler proved long time ago that if you take the sum of Pn minus In Q to the n, that the sum, that the product of 1 minus q to the n, that's obvious, okay? And Euler proved that it is the sum of minus 1 to the m, q power m, 3m minus 1 over 2. That's, of course, the pentagonal identity. Which has been found by Euler. And from this you deduce that Pn minus In is either 0, 1 or minus 1, which is a very striking result. Okay. So this is a Euler computation of K theory. Okay. And in fact, these groups are huge. They are being computed by Ramanujan, is exponential by, well, it's a huge number. So that's a nice byproduct, if you want, of this twisted case. Okay. So I have just 5 minutes to tell you something about Adam's operation. And not to make the link to the work of Gauss, which is quite funny. Okay, so let me explain that. Five operations in case of. Of course, the operation in case of was introduced by Gross and Dick, but the one input, which is very important, was made by Atiyah. And the idea of Atiyah was to say the following in the usual case theory. If you take the vector bundle E, then take E tensor N. Okay. And now you have the symmetric group acting on E tensor N, and this way you get a map of the K theory of X to the equivalent K theory of X, where the Sn is acting trivially on X, and that's K of X tensor the representation ring of Sn. Okay. And now if you have an operation, if you have a map from R of Sn to Z, so kind of a character, then you get a map from this to K of X, and this gives you an operation. And Atiyah proved that the most interesting operations are given this way. Okay. Now, in our twisted case theory, we can try to do the same. Okay. Now, instead of K of X, we take K A of X. We take the power map, E tensor N. So we get K S N A tensor N of X. But here we have to be a little bit careful, because Sn is acting tricked on X, but Sn is acting on A tensor N. And so you cannot apply Atiyah's trick here. Okay, in fact, it is false. You cannot untwist the action. In fact, you should restrict your attention to the alternating group. And then it works. I don't have the time to explain why. And then you go to K A tensor N of X tensor, the representing of AN. So you know that you replace the symmetric group by the alternating group, and then you get an operation in twisted case theory. And one of them is Adam's operation. So let me explain that. In 3 minutes. Of course, this is a little bit complicated. We would like to have a down-to-earth definition of Adam's operation. So the way to do it is also due to Atiyah. But just we have to mimic this in twisted case theory. If we start with ED, then we take the tensor product. So let's call F ED tensor N for short. And I said that the symmetric group is acting on F, but also the cyclic group. So since the cyclic group acts, you have eigenvalues, let's call omega equal exponential 2i pi over r, okay, and we call fr the eigenspace corresponding to the eigenvalue omega to the r. Omega, sorry. N. And now we define formally. We take the sum of FR tensor omega R. So this belongs to the twisted case theory of X, but tensor over Z by what I call omega N, which is a ring of cyclotomic integers. Okay. And by definition, this sum from R equals 0 to N minus 1 is called the psi N operation. And this has a very nice property of Adam's operation. It is additive, multiplicative, and so on. Okay? And it's a nice generalization of it. And of course, you have, just to conclude, you can ask, can we compute this Adam's operation? And the simple test is to take K1 of S1. So let's take N, I'm sorry, I'll just assume it's here N odd. Otherwise, you don't have the alternating group. So now you take K1 of S1, you have psi N going to Kn of S1, tensor omega N. Okay? But Kn of S1 is K1 of S1 by both periodicity, because N is odd. Okay. But now psi N satisfies the identity that psi N of X square is plus or minus psi N of X square. In fact, the sign is minus 1 to the N minus 1. Okay. But what is X square? X square belongs to K2, not of S1. I'm taking external product. So it belongs to K2 of S2, okay, which is K0 of S2. And we know what is psi n on k2 of S2 or k2n of S2. It's just multiplication by n. Okay. And so from that, you deduce that the square root of minus 1, n minus 1 over 2, sorry, n minus 1 over 2, n belongs to omega n, which is a result due to Gauss. Okay. I think it's a nice conclusion. No, you have another question. There are, in fact, two theories. There is one which is ungraded, which is Atiyah and Siegel are doing essentially, okay, which you don't assume any grading. And this is purely algebraic. Okay? And then you can do it in algebraic case theory, for example. Okay? And you don't need Fredon operators for that. Okay? Except if you want to have all H3 of XZ. Okay? So that's purely algebraic. But the twist here, which is an interesting twist here, is a graded algebra. See? Because you have graded algebras, then you have much more tricks. For example, you have this cut product from K1 called K1 in K2, which is essentially coming from Fredon operators, where you can, so you have a very nice K theory without using both identity to define the product and all these things, okay? So the grading is really topological, okay? So you have to use grading, okay? There is an algebraic definition, if you want, which I have not given because I don't want to spare time. Ka of x, as I defined, is a K theory of a functor, okay, from restriction of scalars, from graded modules to ungraded modules, okay? That's an algebraic definition, which I've used in one of the computations with SN and RN, okay? So this is my paper, okay? Oh, by the way, maybe I should... You have all the details. If you want to have more culture, you can just read this paper. Which is an historical paper, and also there are some new results. And there are other references, like the paper of Atiyah and Siegel and...